Be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus at night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs you are doing unless God is with him." Jesus answered and said to him, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man once grown old be born again? Surely he cannot re-enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" Jesus answered, "Amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. What is born of flesh is flesh. What is born of spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I told you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it wills, and you can hear the sound it makes, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Gospel of the Lord. Today is the Church celebrates the feast of St. Catherine of Siena, great doctor of the Church, great model for women religious and all Christians. We are able to focus on her boldness in living and spreading the faith, in contrast to the cowardice of so many Christians during her age, including popes. And that brings us to the great contrast in the readings that God gives us today. This Pharisee named Nicodemus, obviously a member of the Sanhedrin, as we see a little bit later, one of the most powerful Jews, was too chicken to come to Jesus in broad daylight. He was fascinated by Jesus. He knew that his miracles were proclaiming something very important. It seems that he had the hunch that minimally Jesus was the prophet, and he might be much more. "No one can do these signs you are doing unless God is with him," he said when he came in darkness. They knew he was a teacher sent by God. But Jesus immediately wanted to upgrade Nicodemus. It wasn't what he knew. It wasn't the old covenant that he had studied and knew intricately as a Pharisee that he was trying to put into practice. He needed a new birth. He needed baptism. He needed the power of the Holy Spirit within him in order to be able to live as he was yearning to live and God wanted. So Jesus immediately went to this need Nicodemus had, swearing an oath, "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God." What you're really seeking, Nicodemus, you can't have unless you're going to go by this path that I teach you. Nicodemus, rather than just saying, "Lord, show me," then begins to quibble over the fine print. "How can a man grow old, once grown old, be born again? Surely he can't enter his mother's womb and be born again, can he?" No, he can't enter his mom's womb a second time and be born again, Nick. Why don't you listen more carefully? But Jesus patiently said another oath. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." He wanted him to be of the Spirit. He wanted him to be born anew. And the Holy Spirit blows this way. You're not going to know where it comes from or where it goes. You're not going to be able to control it. You're not going to be able fully to understand it, Nicodemus. Are you ready for this? Can you let go of your security? It would take a while. Even later, as we saw a couple weeks ago in John 7, when they were conspiring against Jesus, Nicodemus stepped up and rather than saying, with all his learning, you guys are totally wrong about Jesus, rather than saying that Jesus is not guilty of what you're trying to accuse, rather than just outing them as supposed men of God who are plotting the murder of an innocent man, Nicodemus just basically said, hey, we don't try anybody without a trial, right? Let's first give them a hear. Wasn't capable of boldness yet. Even when Jesus was tried before Nicodemus and the others, he still didn't have the courage to be able to say this man is innocent. It's only after Jesus had died that Nicodemus grew a spine and came and cooperated with Joseph of Arimathea in the burial of Jesus, bringing 200 days' wages worth of precious ointments in order to anoint the body of Jesus. It was then that the work of the Spirit, whom Jesus expired on Calvary, was finding receptivity. It was different for the apostles after Pentecost in the first reading. We remember last week that they were being interrogated by the same Sanhedrin who had interrogated and conspired for the murder of Jesus. They well knew what the Sanhedrin was capable of. And when the Sanhedrin was saying, we don't want you to say another word about this name which healed the man at the beautiful gate, they said that they couldn't but speak of what they had seen and heard. And after they had been flogged, they went back, met with the early Christians, and they prayed. It's the longest prayer of the church recorded in the New Testament. They turned to the sovereign Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. They echoed back to him what he had said to them in Psalm 2, that the Gentiles rage and the kings of the earth take a stand against the Lord and as against his anointed. Then they described their own predicament. Indeed, they gathered in the city against your holy servant Jesus. And now, Lord, take note of their threats against us. And it would have been normal for them to say, and get us out of this mess. Protect us. Nope. And now, Lord, take note of their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with all boldness. And they prayed with such boldness and prayer that we had what Pope Benedict in church history has called the Little Pentecost. Their house shook as the Holy Spirit, with his gift of courage, strengthened them even further. That prayer was efficacious. They went out and really spoke with this holy Pharisee. They were born again anew. And the power of the Holy Spirit was really triumphing in them. And this Pharisee that they themselves had, the church so much needs today. Because so many are wimps with regard to the proclamation of the gospel. They worry about what the media will say, or what fallen away Catholics will say, or politicians will say, in Albany or elsewhere. And what's needed is for the power of the Spirit to be unleashed. That's why it's so key for us today to give God thanks for the life of St. Catherine of Siena. She was one who shows us what this new life by the Holy Spirit looks like. She was the 24th of 25 children. When she was six, she was walking home from visiting one of her older sisters. She looked up and saw a vision of Jesus sitting in triumph, surrounded by Peter, Paul, and John. And that experience of God characterized the whole rest of her life. She knew that God was present, reigning. So she started to live differently than the rest, dedicating herself to prayer, dedicating herself to fasting, dedicating herself to service. Her parents, even though they were faithful, didn't want her to live with this type of courage, the Christian life, to its ultimate conclusion. When that older sister she had visited died, they wanted her to marry her widower, and she refused. She cut off her hair. She did everything that she could to show that she was consecrated to the Lord. And eventually they relented. She became a Dominican tertiary, one of the Mantellate, because they wore a mantle. And off she went, first with boldness and charity. The Lord had revealed to her that the way that she would show her love for him was her love for him in disguise. So she went and she cared for all the sick in the hospitals where there were no nurses. It was just families, but a lot of the times the families would abandon their sick relatives because they didn't want to catch what they had. She cared for all of them, including the lepers. She caught leprosy from one of the women she was caring for who had leprosy. But at this woman's death, everybody noticed that at that instant, Catherine's hand became totally healed of her leprosy. She cared for plague victims. She cared for everybody who was in need. But with all boldness, she also cared for the church. She went out trying to reconcile Christians who were being torn apart by the devil. Families divided, cities divided, city-states warring against each other, the whole church divided in this terrible problem with the papacy in Avignon. With great courage, she went there to speak forthrightly to Pope Gregory XI, to pass on a message from Jesus that it was time to return to Rome. The force of her appeal led Gregory precisely to do that. One of the reasons why he was afraid to return to Rome was because of a dispute with the city-state of Florence, which was the economic power of the day. He was afraid of what might happen. So he asked Catherine to come to Rome, and then he sent her to Florence as his emissary to try to reconcile that practical schism, at least at a civil level, with religious consequences. And Catherine did. It was interesting that in all of these negotiations, they were sending this woman at a time in which women didn't have the respect that they do today. But she was able to do it because, as God the Father said to her in one of his dialogues, that she, because of the manliness of her baptism, has the capacity to do it. Manliness meaning courage. In the dialogues, if you read them, there are 27 different references to baptism. And there, God talks about what happens in us when we're born again. That we become, he says, a tree of love overflowing with the graces of this gift. A tree of love with firm roots in God. A tree of love that's meant to continue to grow with outstretched branches so that so many others, like the birds of the air, can take solace. She became this sturdy redwood by that gift. God the Father said that everybody who's baptized receives the same gift, but not everybody cooperates in the same way. Some grow to be these sturdy trees, others wither and run away from the grace, squandering them through sin. So this is the essence of our freedom, to be able to correspond to that new birth and grow according to that new reality, and ultimately let that Holy Spirit, who blows wherever He will, blows us wherever He wants, to whatever need there is with the sevenfold gift. St. Catherine received her strength from the power of the Holy Spirit, not only in her own life, but particularly in the Mass. In the 1300s, most religious received Holy Communion only a few times a year. She, for the last 7 years of her life, totally subsisted exclusively on the Eucharist. She lived one day to the next, drawing her life from this great sacrament, when the Holy Spirit overshadows a priest and changes bread and wine into Jesus. And we have the ability to receive Jesus within, triumphing over death, over sin, and over all of these kings of the earth who with the princes gather together to take their stand against the Lord and against His anointed. This is what made St. Catherine so strong in bearing witness to the Lord. And this is what will make you 21st century Catherines.